From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 6th, 2012. It's Election Day in the United States. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Dorf Ransicka, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Last week, a discussion of spatial information technology, that is, spatial IT, came to a bit of a head. The conversation, led by OpenGeo's Paul Ramsey, may have unearthed a truth that many would rather not hear. And I'll quote, "As we know, GIS courses are just the bait in the trap to suck naive students into a career where 90% of the activity is actually in data creation, digitization monkey, and publication, map monkey, not in analysis. Is that right? We'll consider this observation and its implications after a word from our sponsor."
Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19th, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions.
Now, before we dive into that provocative comment that I started with, let's get some context. This discussion began back in April when Paul Ramsey spoke at an OpenGeo sponsor day after the PhosphorG North America event in Washington, D.C. He argued the most innovative people in the geospatial industry are no longer doing GIS and highlighted the weaknesses of traditional GIS, explaining that the future is, in fact, spatial IT folks working on the spatial web. And there actually is a video of his presentation, and there's a link to it in the show notes. Now, Stephen Mather rekindled the discussion this past couple of weeks, exploring the relationship between GIS and planning and whether GIS should be spatial IT. And what I want to do is quote from Paul Ramsey's response to that, which leads into that quote just for full context. Paul Ramsey starts with the GIS and planning distinction and goes on. "There's a place where GIS provides the interface between raw data and planning decisions, which remains high touch and interpersonal, qualitative and presentational, ad hoc and unpredictable. This is the GIS that is taught in schools because it's the interesting GIS, the place where decisions meet data. However, as we know, GIS courses are just the bait in the trap to suck the naive students into a career where 90% of the activity is actually in data creation, digitization monkey, and publication, map monkey, not in analysis. The trap that GIS has fallen into is to assume that these low-skill, repetitive tasks are A, worth defending, and B, should be done with specific GIS technology. They aren't, and they shouldn't. They should, and per Brian Timoney, will be folded into generic IT workflows, automated and systematized. That will leave the old core of real GIS behind, and that's probably a good thing, because training people for analysis and then turning them into map monkeys and digitization monkeys and image color balancing monkeys and change detection monkeys is a cruel bait and switch." Unquote. Now, to start with, Joe, I'm going to put it to you, is that observation of that 90% of activity and the various monkeys, is that anything like what we're seeing out in the world or what we believe is out there?
Well, first, it's a somewhat cynical view. Is there some truth to it? I think there's some truth. But I think like everything, like every technology innovation, things move up the value chain. But that doesn't discount the jobs that remain. I think that those jobs that people are being trained for in terms of basic data creation, those things are inevitable. You inevitably move some of those jobs into some sort of automated type feature. I think that the fact that you're always moving up that value chain at some point in the educational cycle will leave some people hanging. And so there is an element of truth that you're going to train somebody to do one thing, and then the job they end up with is pretty boring, pretty basic. It just left me with a little bit of a cynical view when I read that.
Well, and I think that there definitely is some cynicism in there. Do you think it is accurate that we're training people to do the higher-end analytical kinds of things with GIS and holding those really in very high esteem in the educational world, and then when they get into the work world, if they're lucky, they get to do maybe 10% of that and 90% of collecting the data, putting the data into layers, publishing the data on the web, and so forth?
I'm going to go back to my own experience in that when I came out of graduate school with what I thought was a very highly technical job, and again, this was in the days where we did have computer image processing. It was those early days. But I was asked to do a job to do image interpretation, which there is still an awful lot of image interpretation. We're hiring image analysts at the NGA all the time. To be honest, I was not that well trained. You know what I mean? It's not until you get out into the workforce that you learn very much. And sometimes you have to do some pretty remedial types of jobs before you understand what you really need to do. But I don't think that's what this argument is about. What they're talking about in the bait and switch argument is that we're training people for very highly technical jobs, and then we stick them with a very remedial job like digitizing, or in the case of what we're seeing out there now as well, maybe they're just going out in the street and capturing data. They're driving the streets or going out into the field and capturing soil data. Well, I hate to say it, but that is what you get for your first job. You don't get the high-powered analytical job your first time out of school. I'm not sure I buy into the entire argument by Ramsey.
I have to agree with you. I think this whole idea that you start at the bottom, and if you're talented and work hard and so forth, you do get to do those cooler kinds of jobs. I had the same experience when I started off with my first job. I learned how to use AutoCAD, and I learned how to draw facility maps, basically.
Right.
And I have to say, I was perfectly happy doing that because that was all brand new to me. I had to learn the software. I had to figure out how to set the scales. And that was plenty of challenge for my first job.
But I think that what they're talking about is that whether you're taking training online or you're going to school to learn GIS, what I get the feeling is that they're enticing people into jobs because they're holding out this big number of available jobs that will be in GIS. And what they're saying is, well, no, don't get too carried away, because, yeah, there may be jobs, but those are the jobs that are just doing, you know, data collection. Well, again, I go back to the fact that if you're coming out of school as a soil scientist, what's your first job? You're going to go out into the field and you're going to do data collection. You're not going to be probably back in the lab doing soil analysis and maybe doing grand studies on large geographic scales. Let's be real. You're going to come out with some training. And if you're in a degree field, you're probably going to have a fairly basic job. If you're coming out of a community college in which you're taught to push buttons, then yeah, unfortunately, these are the kind of jobs that are going to be out there, but they're also jobs that are needed. I'm not sure I totally buy into Ramsey's argument, because there will be a lot of jobs like that, and that may be, for some people, very good jobs.
Yeah, and I want to jump to a whole other industry and maybe explore an analogy. I know very little about the food and restaurant business, but I have good friends who know quite a lot about it, and I asserted to one of my friends that, in fact, the same kind of thing maybe was going on in the restaurant business. And she confirmed that yes, in fact, more and more of those things that people used to get hired to do, like chopping onions and making sauces and making soup and baking muffins, that's all either automated or it's mechanized, so that instead of cooking the soup, you get a bag of pre-made soup from corporate and you throw it in the big pot and cook it, and that's clam chowder.
Right.
I think maybe the most interesting thing that comes out of this exploration is something that I've been seeing for some time, and I think maybe what Paul is suggesting here ties right into that. And that's the reshaping of the pyramid of GIS users, right? And that's the one where you have the pointy part up at the top,
right,
which is the highly technical people who are used to be in the basement. Now maybe right. they're up out of the basement. They know how to program. They build the apps, those folks. At the bottom, you had the what used to be called the viewers, and those are the people who took advantage of the apps that were created. Maybe the apps are on the web. Today, they're on your mobile phone. They're doing the decision-making. They're the managers. They're the CIOs. They're looking at that dashboard. And what there used to be was a big chunk in the middle. And the big chunk in the middle were the people who are sitting in front of, typically, desktop GIS. They were putting together the layers of data. They were making the maps. They were not especially technical, but they certainly had some experience with GIS. They may have had other experience in a specific industry like forestry or planning. And what I think is going on is that that middle layer is getting thinner and thinner all the time, because a big chunk of it is going down into that viewer user department. And that's a lot of what I think ESRI is trying to do with ArcGIS Online, really push that level of finding the data and creating the map that I need and using it into the hands of pretty much anybody. And then all the rest of that is getting pushed up to that pointy part where the programmers are building the button that does that analysis that you do over and over again, so that all the gory details of it need not be known. And that's put into a model and you push the button.
Okay, so let me just understand what you're saying, that the thicker part of the pyramid are the viewers, and the thinner part are who?
It used to be what we called the users. They were in the middle between the pointy part and the big wide bottom part.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are fewer and fewer of those folks. And those kinds of jobs, I think, were the great jobs in GIS. That's where there was good money in those kinds of jobs, and I think there are just fewer of them.
Well, I don't disagree with that, because I think there are becoming some very, very sophisticated tools out there. And at the recent GeoLink conference, I had a chance to just, you know, go around to different booths, and I was very surprised at some of the dashboards that were out there. Maps combined with tag clouds, combined with some very good graphical analysis, and made me think that my interpretive skills would have to rapidly increase, because I'm being presented with so much more data. As an analyst, I really had to be not just multitasking, but multidisciplinary in my approach. So it was before you might have had the forester and the geologist. Because of the ability to source so much different data, I might be a bit lacking now, because I may be too specific in my discipline. So I do think that the tools are becoming much more sophisticated and the visualization aspects are much better. I think it's creating a whole new different type of knowledge worker out there. I know that they're really thinking of a different part of the spectrum, probably at the other end, but looking at the pointy tip, there's a difference to the knowledge worker that's going to be required in the next 2 to 5 years.
I think you're right. I think what you're describing, I would call media literacy and digital literacy. Those are the kinds of things that hopefully are getting taught further and further down the food chain. I remember back in grade school, we learned pie charts and bar charts and so forth, right?
Right.
Well, that's sort of exploded into a million other things, and that is becoming the currency of how we share our ideas and our data, and how we interpret those ideas and data. And that's what's really, I think there's a premium being put on that, and that's a very generalist skill. That is not that's a very, very, I would argue, liberal arts kind of skill. And to be fair, part of it is geoliteracy, don't get me wrong, but it bundles in with a bunch of other things, and that's the person who, as you describe, is going to be interpreting all this collected data and then making the decision about how we act on it.
Yeah, no, I think that that's right. Maybe we should switch back to some of the things that Ramsey and Timony are talking about, which is, are there going to be too many people just doing data collection? Are we training people are we giving them too much training for a job that just isn't there? And that would be my concern. I think there is this element of bait and switch. I would love to hear an educator's point of view to see if that's what they're finding after they have a student that's gone through their training program. What kind of jobs are they getting? And maybe somebody who's listening will be able to give us some feedback.
Well, I think most people who are getting their GIS certificate or an undergraduate degree are starting in those entry-level jobs. That's right. Why they're called entry-level jobs. And
right.
Much of what they're doing, as you describe when you started in this industry, is completely different than the software and the techniques that they used in school, because the organization that they're working with maybe uses different software or is in a different industry than they had experience with. But hopefully, and this would be my best hope as an educator, is they have found the skills that are transferable such that they can pick up this new environment relatively easily and get started. And I also think that any data collection these days, the technology should be elegant enough and simple enough that with limited training, you can send almost anybody out to get the soil sample or take pictures of the trees in the city and capture their GPS locations. I mean, that technology is very accessible.
And I think that's what's being suggested, is that it just becomes another IT function so that you'll have the data. It's not there's no particular skills required, GIS or other. It'll just become one of the other data collection tasks that people do in the IT business.
Right, and I think maybe to agree with Paul here, if we do move into this spatial IT vision, it's very likely we're going to have IT generalists that maybe have bachelor's degrees, maybe a little bit more, and they're sort of free form in the organization and go do whatever it is that needs to be done. One day they're GIS analyst. One day they're building a Excel spreadsheet to calculate something. Whatever comes up, they've got enough broad knowledge to learn enough to do it.
Well, maybe you just created a new job category, because I think you are right. I think in this era of big data, data synthesis is going to become a key function of the IT department. And the data will be parsed to the individuals, the analysts, the decision makers, in various forms. It could be spatial, could be aspatial, could be a Twitter stream, whatever. But this IT generalist who is tasked with analyzing or managing big data is going to be a function that's absolutely needed.
And I have to say, the job I just described of doing many different things across the IT spectrum of a city or a private company, that sounds pretty interesting to me. That would not be the same thing every day. Well, that's all the time we have. Before we go, our sponsor.
And from us here at Directions, we'd like to announce a few things. One, of course, our Location Intelligence Conference will be held next May 21st and 22nd, Washington, D.C. And we are announcing the very first Location Intelligence Brazil Conference on June 19th in Sao Paulo, in conjunction with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference. Find more information about both events at locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can tweet us @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted, at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.